It's the Football Friday Preview Show. No one covers the Tri-Arc with the insight and excitement for Arkansas high school and college football like Eric King, Matt Wilcox, and J.R. Runyon. Now, live from Big Bad Breakfast in downtown Conway, it's the Football Friday Preview Show on the Tri-Arc Radio Sports Network.
And good morning and welcome back to Football Talk. That's right, it is our Friday morning football preview show, and so glad to have everybody on board with us here this morning as we begin to navigate another football season. And Austin Emerson, head coach of the Mayflower Eagles, joins us here this morning. And, you know, we just kind of jokingly said, but it is the case. New is the operative word for, honestly, for a lot of high schools in our area this season, because there's, with conference realignment, with some coaching changes, and with this and that, this really is a new football season. And I think that that's the thing that we're going to be talking about with everybody, Eric, is that there's a lot of fresh, there's a lot of new, and which just, to me, that just kind of adds to the excitement.
Well, it does. And, I mean, I think when you talk about the new conference lines up, to me, there's going to be teams that, because looking at Mayflower's schedule, there's just teams that we're not accustomed to seeing like Mayflower play. Like, you throw the Hope in there, and you throw the Clinton in there, which is, I think, will be some games that will be some big rivalries coming up in the near future.
Well, Coach, before we talk about the future and talk about the challenges that lay ahead with a new team and a new look and everything, we also need to remember that you guys are coming off of season two, remember?
Yep. You know, going 11-2, it's the most wins I've had there. We'd won 10 games a couple times, and that group was just a special group coming through. They were a group that, as freshmen, when we moved them up to play at the high school, they didn't want to shy away. They wanted to go hit the high school guys and wanted to compete with them. So it's fun. We miss those guys. Some of them have come out to practice last week. We did practice under the lights going from 8 to 10, so I don't have much of a voice from being at PD all day, practice all night, getting up early and doing it all over again all week. But yeah, we're going to miss those guys a bunch, but we do got a couple back. I mean, we've got Carter Smith back at quarterback. We've got Isaac Kimmel back at linebacker, and he's going to play some receiver and fullback for us. And Martrell Jurgens, he caught several touchdowns. And so those are my three seniors that are coming back. And then the rest of them are all guys that, you know, they were on the scout team last year going against, you know, seven All-State football players. So they're new to the world, but they're not new to us. Most of them have been with us since seventh grade or eighth grade, or they moved in junior high, or – you know, we don't get many high school move-ins, but they've been with me and know me long enough, and they're this group's a little bit different group. They don't have all the personalities like last year's did, but man, they're grinders. They show up and get after it, and they're fun to coach.
You know, last year the defense was really such a, you didn't allow double digits except in one game, I think, all season long. I mean, that's just incredible. You don't see that. And people always talk about defense wins championships, and certainly put you in that position. So that defensive side is one of those things that I know that you've got to be looking at. Okay, what do we have to do to not only repeat that kind of success and to have that kind of success, but how does that adapt to now a higher classification with regards to your competition is coming in?
Yeah, you know, replacing three All-State D linemen is not easy. But, I mean, the techniques have been the same for a long time, and, you know, the kids just change in who they are. And you know, D-line used to be a spot in high school that nobody wanted to play. It was like the last stop. Really, O-line was the last stop. D-line was the second-to-last stop before, you know, and nobody wants to play those spots. Everybody wanted to be skilled guys. But the guys last year made D-line cool again.
Yeah.
You know, we had guys that they were receivers, more basketball play. Like, both our DNs last year were hardcore basketball players in junior high, but they didn't quite have all the skills to be just a great basketball player. And then they come out and play for us. Well, they weren't skilled enough to play linebacker or safety or corner, and we throw them down there, and they start realizing, hey, linemen are a little bit slower and unathletic, and I'm really athletic.
Yeah.
And so they kind of made D-line cool again. So now we got guys that are linebackers that are like, hey, I'll go down there and put my hand down. I'll gladly do that. So very thankful for them for that. But our defense, Coach Wolf, he does a great job. He's our defense coordinator. He played for me at Morrilton back in the day when we were there. He's ate up with it, loves it. I mean, he is the perfect guy to have in that spot. The kids love him. The kids play hard for him. I mean, he studies his butt off on every opponent, trying to get every single detail down, and we do our best to do that. And when you got great players that can go attack it, you only give up, I think it was two games. It was Fordyce and Salem.
Yeah.
But other than that, I mean, he is so detailed in what he does, and he's great to have.
Well, Coach, when you look at that defense and you talk about the like she just mentioned it, the number of points that you gave up last year. What philosophy do you go in with it this year, knowing you got a bunch of new guys and knowing you got your – which I call the quarterback of the defensive linebacker. He's back there, so he's kind of the guy pushing them and putting them in the position that they're doing, calling the plays that he's getting. But what type of – I know he's probably the leader of that whole squad, but what kind of – kind of philosophy do you go in with these new guys?
I mean, it's really the same philosophy. We're a kind of bend, don't break defense. We try to stop the run like everybody wants to do. That's our number one goal because, you know, the more I coach in high school football, the more I realize myself and other people really want to run the football. You know? I mean, that's kind of the main mentality is stop the run, make everything go sideline to sideline. But with them, it's kind of more, you know, building their technique. That's one thing, like last year, we didn't put in new stuff. It's just like you really hammer the technique all year long. And the longer I've coached, the more I've realized that when you coach technique and they get really, really good at technique, then all of a sudden they can play faster and play harder and they do their job better. And they're not always the better player or not, but they can do their job really well. And you, early on, I used to try to add plays, do all this and all that, and that's not it. Like, you can do all that, and then they get good at nothing, you know, you get good at the really simple stuff.
Yeah, so. I think it's interesting you talked about the basketball players that came in and wanted to put their hands on the ground and be defensive ends. But you're right, you take some of those guys that maybe not have the speed or you know, that certain touch to make them that, that – the player that everybody wants to be, but you put them on the line. And I've seen this a lot with offensive linemen as well. You take a guy that, you know, might not be what he was when he was in a junior high, but he was still the running back. Mm-hmm. And you take him and you put him at guard, and now he looks at it and he goes, man, I can make a difference over here.
Yep.
And I think you see that a lot because you're right. Nobody wanted to be a lineman. I mean, that's just something you didn't want to be. But if you wanted to play for guys like me, that was the only thing you – I mean, it was the only option you had. So those skill positions, although there's more because you don't line up in the power eye and run it like you used to, it's just it's neat to see so many successful, and we've talked about this here, linemen come out of Faulkner County.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Greenbrier's had it. Conway's had it. You've had that success. I mean, your bunch was loaded on the offensive end, then defensive end in the trenches last year. So to see that, I just think you're giving us big guys a little hope.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing I really tell the guys, there's only one football on the field. You know, not all 11 guys ain't going to have the ball in their hands. So
right.
We all got a job to do. Receivers, when you don't have the ball, you're basically a lineman out in space. So
Watch it. They might turn you into a basketball coach.
Well, we throw it to them as well. But, you know, when you can get that unselfishness in them to know that, hey, all of us are going to have to block at some point. A quarterback carrying out a fake is a block in and of itself
because
you're trying to pull two or three people away. So when we get everybody bought into that, like, hey, when I don't have the ball, I can unselfishly go do my job, then we're usually pretty good.
Well, when you look at the offensive side of the ball, as you mentioned, having a quarterback who was effective for you, was successful for you last year, talk about what Carter brings back into this program this season.
Yeah, one thing that's cool about him, when he was a sophomore, I've split series with him and my senior quarterback.
Right.
Just because Carter had stuff he was good at and Trey had stuff he was good at. Last year, Carter stepped into the role, and when he was a sophomore, he acted like a sophomore son. You know, he was a little bit scared sometimes. But last year, you know, he jumped in and he just fully took over everything. He's matured so well. He is my brain on the field. I tell all the guys, like, if he calls something on the field, it's the same as me calling it because I trust him that much. And he makes me – and I tell him, too, hey, make me right. Don't make me look like a bad play caller. So if you see something out there, you change it and make it right because this is what I want. And he always – you know, he's good at that. So he can – I give him full freedom to adjust routes, you know, kind of like the old school, like back in the 70s when the quarterback had to get under center and look where the three technique was and call trap that way or dive this way or belly this way. I give him that in the spread offense. He's allowed to fully change anything he wants, and he understands it well enough to do that. So it's good to have him back there.
What are some of those keys that he looks for that you guys have talked about, and how will that transition into now teams who – will have film on you last year, and you'll have film on them, but it'll look different. But you won't have film with you playing them for the most part.
Yeah.
What's he looking for?
Well, really, it's kind of numbers, grass, leverage, and matchup are the main things. You know, if we can always get a numbers advantage, we want to do it. If they're going to give us free grass, we want to take it. If they give us a good matchup and we got good leverage on them, then we're trying to take advantage of those. And sometimes that's in the run game. That's one of the cool things about him, too. He's not a quarterback that just wants to throw it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most quarterbacks, especially in junior high, you know, coach, call a go route. I just want to throw good. I just want to throw.
Yeah. Well, throw it long. Throw it long.
And they don't understand a five-yard pass can turn into a 90-yard touchdown real quick in the right hands. But he's one of those guys. He'll look at me and be like, Coach, just run the ball. Like, we're doing good, run the ball. Just keep calling runs. You know, he doesn't have to throw the ball to feel, you know, good as a quarterback. And he threw for, like, 1,900 yards last year. Probably one of the best passing seasons we've had with me. Not, you know, previous years, Adam Dykus, which he's now on our staff. You know, he's, like, in the record books and all that stuff. And, but, like, he's just a great game manager. He's a point guard in basketball, and that's exactly who you want in football, being your quarterback, and he's great at it.
Coach, how many players do you have this year that you think will see both sides?
I think right now it is two.
Okay.
It's Isaac. Good. Last year it was two, or last 2 years it's only been two. This year it'll be Isaac Immel and Martrell Jurgens, who are both seniors. Last year it was two seniors as well. We try to limit that as much as we can. I don't go to a lot of clinics, but I go to different high schools in the state and meet with those guys. And the more I do that, the more the older, wiser guys with way more championships than I have, they start talking about limiting sophomores to one side of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you do that, then when they become juniors, they can take on a little more. When they become seniors, they can handle more because they can handle both sides of the ball. Just the development of the brain and kids and all that good stuff. So,
well, I think that's awesome when you start talking about a school like Mayflower that number one, you got the numbers to do that. That's huge.
Mm-hmm.
And then, man, that just makes to me, the future look bright to know that you're not having to use a bunch of kids go both ways.
Yeah.
You can spend more time with your ones on one side and then your ones on the other side.
Yeah, you know, last couple of years we haven't had many guys go both ways, and like D linemen get to practice D line for 2 hours.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, my O line gets to practice O line for an hour.
Bless their hearts.
Bless their
hearts. It is a lot of endo. But, you know, the other guy I got it from, he was at Harding Academy. He just talked about, you know, putting that guy in there and that guy getting in there that you don't think can play. One, he sees a spot, he'll go try harder for that spot. And then two, that kid doing that same thing all year long is better than that other kid that I think's better who's 50% more tired.
Yeah. You know,
he can't do that job as effective as a fresh kid who's been doing that one thing all year long. Yeah. So,
well, how important is that going to be going into, 4A to where, you know, I don't know where exactly you sit with regards to numbers and compared to, you know, some of the other programs but I know that your numbers for your classification have always been very strong.
Yeah.
And so do you feel like that you're coming in with much of a disadvantage number wise, or do you feel like it's pretty balanced?
It's about like every league from the NFL on down. Like, you know, you got your ones right now, and then depth is all, you always have one or two, but you know, a football season's long, and to have a good football season, you got to stay healthy. And usually you never make it to the end of the season with the same 5-0 linemen and the same 4-D linemen or back end, vice versa. So our depth is good. You know, we're kind of in the upper 40s right now, which is way better. In my second year, we got down to like 18 kids. And you want to talk about rough practice.
Yeah, no kidding.
You got to go 11 on 11, which is 22 for us math experts out
and
there.
You got
18 on the field trying to practice.
There are a lot of 7-7 looks, 7-on-7 looks, right?
You get real creative in those times. But no, it's been really a blessing for us to have this many kids come out and play and stay out. This senior group's a lot smaller than last year. I think there's 4 or 5 of them. But then right behind them, there's like 20-something juniors and 20-something sophomores. So it's getting back to where we kind of, you know, if we can keep 15 kids a class and keep it around 45, 50, that's perfect Mayflower numbers for us.
So you look at all the new ones that you're going to have to play on both sides of the ball. What do you think is going to be the biggest change or the biggest challenge for y'all this year, offensively or defensively?
I think it's probably going to be defensively, just because our whole D-line is new. Almost all of our linebackers are new. Well, our Mike linebacker's new. Our other two did start last year. But, you know, D-line last year, they made a ton of plays for us. And they were were four really good playmakers. And this year –
when you average, you know, 7 points a game, you figure they're not getting very deep.
Well, they could make plays that, you know, if a linebacker wasn't in the right spot, and then, you know, you got Jerry Fuller on the backside running down a play on the play side, and it's like, oh, well, that works.
Yeah.
You know? So we need some guys to step up like that. And our D-line's a little bit younger. But Coach Cope does a great job with those guys. And then skill guys, it's almost all new guys as well. So kind of the biggest challenge, I think, is going to be up front on defense and then skill guys on offense. Just, I mean, they're all new. New running backs, new fullbacks, new receivers, except for Martrell. And just kind of knowing how to calm down in the game and get to doing what they're supposed to do.
Talk about your linebackers, such a key part of that defense. Having to look forward, having to look to the right, having to look behind. I mean, there's so much territory to cover. How do you feel about your kids that are there, and who are somebody that we probably want to keep an eye on?
Yeah, so Isaac Immel started for us last year. He's been a good football player for us since seventh grade. But he's our starting outside linebacker on one side. In the middle, we got Robert Gann. On the other side, we got Kate Cowdery. And Robert is a great Mike linebacker. You know, we're going to miss Trey Williams back there. He was a captain for us from junior high all the way up. But Robert, last year, he was 165 pounds, didn't want to get into practice, all that stuff. He's bought in the offseason. He's 210 now, benches 285. Like, he's more confident. He's ready to go. And then Cade at the other side, you know, he was a sophomore last year. And he's one of those kids that we said we needed an outside linebacker. Let's just put Cade in there. He's a sophomore, but he can play one spot really well. He did it really well, so now he's a junior, gets to handle a little bit of running back, a little bit outside linebacker. He's a great tackler. You know, he's been a soccer player his whole life, so he understands space better than most.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's not the tallest, biggest dude on earth, but he can close space and tackle people really well.
So you get that awareness back there with him. So let's continue, you know, back. We've talked a little bit about that defensive line, and now let's look at the secondary, your safeties and your corners. What do you have there? Who do you have there? What is it that you're looking to put out on the field there?
So at corners, we got Martrell Juergens, who's a senior. His brother played for me the last time we were in 4A. He was our quarterback. And then I got Tristan Armstrong on the other side of him. And then on the back end right now, we have Landon Bradley and Brody Rippey. And then so Brody, he and Callan McCagran have kind of shared that other safety spot. So they're kind of fighting for that spot right there still. We'll probably grade them through the scrimmage and see who's going to do the right job, because we opened up with BB, who went flexbone this year, which I was hoping they weren't, but they are. So when you play the flexbone, your safety's got to be very smart and do exactly what they're supposed to do. So on the back end, Landon Bradley is a guy who has, you know, he's been in love with football. He is a gym rat. He is a film rat. He's one of those type of guys. He is not the most athletic dude on earth, but it's one of those things. He knows what to do so well that he plays way more athletic than he actually is, kind of thing. He can get down in the alley and stop the run. He understands how to cover pass really well and how to do his reads really well. And Callan and Brody are both athletic. They both were my quarterbacks in junior high, and they're both my backup quarterbacks in high school. It's just between those two, it's who's going to do the job right, who's going to get in there and stick their nose in on the run and stop the run. Martrell's kind of been our lockdown corner all summer long in 7-on-7s. He's our – if someone has a dude, we throw him over there. And Tristan, another one of those kids that, you know, he wasn't quite skilled enough on the offensive side, but he's been playing corner since seventh grade. And just, you know, you do that for 4 years and you get
repetitions,
better.
Repetitions,
so you get better at what you do. So he's starting for us on that side. And I think we'll be all right on the back end as long as they can stop the run.
Talk about your coaches on the defensive side of the football. I know that, that there's been some adjustments and some changes, but there's also some consistency.
Yeah, so Coach Walford's our DC. Coach Cope is our D-line, and I'm the secondary coach. Coach Busey and Coach Dykus are two new guys we added. Coach Busey played baseball at UCA. Coach Dykus, he's a former Mayflower quarterback. And so really those guys, Coach Dykus has kind of really been helping out Coach Wofford, because inside and outside linebacker are two totally different positions.
Mm-hmm.
Coach Busey's been helping me out on the back end. And they've been huge upgrades to our staff. Coach Cope and Coach Woff have been with me for some – I think Cope is on his third or fourth year. Coach Woff's on his fifth year now. So not having that revolving door of coaches and being able to speak the same language for 5 years now has been really awesome. Because my first few years, it wasn't – you know, maybe I was hard to work for. I don't know. But people were going on to better opportunities from Mayflower. They'd come in, spend a year or two, and get out. Come in, spend a year or two, and get out. Well, when you have no consistency there, then the kids, you know, they're hearing different messages from different people. But now we've had the same people in there that love them really well and coach them really well, and more kids are sticking out. So,
well, so you talked about it a while ago, 7-on-7, and being an old hefty lineman, we don't I see that a lot and be able to watch it a lot just being at school. And I hear a lot about that. What does it mean to a program to be able to do that in the summer, especially with some of your new guys? What kind of experience does it give them on the defense and the offensive side to get them ready for what they've got in front of them?
Well, used to, as a lineman myself, I did not like 7-on-7. I thought we just need to go to 11-on-11 team camp all summer long, do that as much as we can. But what I found as a coach that I like about it is you start to kind of see your kids in adverse situations and see how they're going to handle adversity. You know, you're a 4A school, you go play a 7A school, and they're beating your brains in. Well, what are they going to do with that? You know, how are they going to handle that? Or sometimes you go beat a 7A school or a 5A school or a 6A school, and then the kids are like, oh, crap, we can – all right. They start feeling themselves.
We're not so bad.
It's more of an internal thing for me.
Yeah.
Yes, it is doing their technique, doing their job, but it's more of a team-building thing. And I actually stole it from Coach Tribble over at Greenbrier because, we treat June like 7-on-7 months. So that's – and I was like, man, that's a good way to break up the summer because some of the years where we were bad, we were really good in the summer. And then, by golly, when the season rolls around, they're tired of 11-on-11. So it gives you a little bit of a break of 11-on-11 to go out and have fun. Kids like doing it. We tried to go to college campuses and do it. Went to OBU this past year, and we were one of the smallest schools there. We're playing all these 7A and 6A schools out of Louisiana, and some of them we competed well with, some of them not so well. But then we went to the University of Arkansas. We've been going to that one for some years now, and we were able to beat some bigger teams than us, and then lost to Fayetteville in the playoffs. But, you know, our kids can go up against 7A and 6A kids, and they see, hey, they're just like us.
Yeah.
You know, we're –
But the old thing is, they put their shoes on the same way I do.
Exactly. You know, we beat Shiloh at Arkansas, and our kids were like, you know, we got up on them. I think it was 21-0, and they were just looking at me like, Coach, is this really? And I was thinking,
is this happening?
I was thinking the same thing. I was like, God, I don't know what's happening.
Just keep it up, boy. Keep it up.
Just do it. So. Well, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the offensive set, about some of the players that we're seeing on the offensive side of the football. Then we'll break down the schedule and look at the new conference. We're talking this morning with Austin Emerson, head coach of the Mayflower Eagles, as they move up into the 2-4A will be their conference, and we will talk about all that and more as we continue here at Big Bad Breakfast in downtown Conway, getting ready for a big Friday and getting ready for a big football season right here on Cat Country, 98.9 and 92.5. My Country Y107 and the all-new Big 92.7.
Back to school means back to routines. Hi, I'm Dr. Tricia Benish, Director of Mental Health for the Greenbrier School District. Even small routines can help children feel confident, prepared, and ready for the school year ahead. Families can ease the transition by returning to consistent bedtimes and morning routines early, by setting healthy screen time limits, and start talking with children about what they can expect. Structure and connection help children feel safe and supported. At Greenbrier, preparing for school is about more than schedules and supplies. It's also about heart. Heart is our word of the month for August, and it means caring for others, facing challenges with courage, and giving our best even when things are difficult. When we lead with heart, every student has the opportunity to thrive. Check out our social media for more information and start one healthy routine tonight, because school starts August 12th, and we can't wait to welcome everyone back. Our students, staff, and families truly are the heart of Greenbrier.
Today's medical system treats patients like products, not us. Conway Regional brings together key service lines, providers, and technologies to create a unique patient experience that is highly intentional and refreshingly personal. With a hospital in the heart of Conway, a trusted ER, women's services, all from a team that delivers more than medicine. This is not mass-produced healthcare. This is your healthcare. Conway Regional. Curated care.
The community of Conway continues to be committed to the Wampus Cats, just as Centennial is committed to our customers. Perseverance, commitment, and resilience are key ingredients for success. Whether you are cheering on the Wampus Cats, starting a new business, or planning for the future, Centennial is here for all of life's moments. Let us be your partner. Centennial Bank, member FDIC.
gas is so expensive these days, but not with fuel-efficient vehicles from Chris Crane Hyundai in Conway. Like the Tucson, loaded with technology, and there's even a hybrid model.
Stop playing the gas pump lottery with new Hyundai hybrids with up to 50 miles per gallon. Or get 0% financing for up to 60 months on new 2026 Tucsons and new 2026 Elantras. Start at just $22,995 at Chris Crane Hyundai on Museum Road in Conway and online at chriscranehyundai.com.
Now back to the Football Friday Preview Show on the Triarch Radio Sports Network.
Welcome back here to Big Bad Breakfast here on this Friday morning in our Football Friday Preview Show. We're talking with Austin Emerson here this morning, head coach of the Mayflower Eagles. So we've talked a little bit about the quarterback position. Take us through some of the other skill positions on that side of the ball before we talk about that O-line.
So at running back, we have Chris Blackman. He carried the ball for us some last year. You know, he was a state qualifier in the 100-meter dash and track as a freshman. The other one who carried a lot outside of Trey Williams last year was Cade Cowdery, that outside linebacker we talked about. And both those guys are the same grade. They're good buddies. You know, they don't care who's in, who's getting the ball, just, you know, as long as they're in there having fun. Out at receiver, we have Peyton Harris. He's a guy that he was really good for us in junior high, and he just keeps growing, and he looks like a grown man out there. And then Martrell Juergens will be our other receiver. Those two and 7-on-7 have been our main guys. And then Isaac Emma will play some receiver. Callum McCaggrin will play some receiver. You know, they're kind of defensive primary, but they can rotate on offense where I need them. And then outside, we've got a couple guys that are vying for the other outside receiver spot. We got Ty Henderson, who's a basketball player who came out last year as a freshman. He's 6'4", athletic, can go get it. But he's young, so he forgets stuff sometimes. And then we've got a couple seniors that they're older but not quite as tall and athletically built as him and Joey Hancock. And so those guys, it's, you know, the cool thing about them is in all the practices we've had is they're all cool. You know, someone else getting in, fine, jump in. It's not like a stingy, I got to be in every single play because I want the touchdown. It's, hey, I know I need a break, jump in there. And we all know each other's got to know each other's job. So,
well, let's talk about what I consider to be probably the one unit that needs to have the most comfort with each other, the most ease with each other, and has to get those reps and get that consistency going with each other. And that, of course, is that offensive line.
Yeah, so we've got – we'll just start left to right. We got Calvin Pounds. He's been with us since junior high. He's slowly gotten better and better. And last year, getting to play against that D-line every day made him really stinking good. So he's in our left tackle spot. Jordan Woods is our left guard. He's been with me since seventh grade, been a lineman his whole life, loves it. He's that personality guy that, you know, he can kind of just say stuff and they just start giggling and all that. And then at center, we have Peyton Munson. Who's a kid who has not played a lot for us, but he's bought in the offseason. He's getting taller and bigger, and he's found himself a home at center, and he loves it. So you find a guy that can do that and really, you know, dive in that spot, and then they wind up being pretty good because, you know, most people don't watch the center until the snap's bad. Then they're all over him. Then at right guard, we have Noble Brown. He's played for me, you know, all the way through. He's one of those guys that lineman life and loves it and just, you know, loves to hit people, loves to drive. He's an awesome high school guard. And then at right tackle, we have Javion Cheatham, who moved to us last year, moved in with his dad, moved up from, I think it's Ashdown, to where he came from. And, man, he is a mammoth at right tackle. He's a good one. He's got great feet. I knew he was going to be pretty good when he first got here. He was a little timid. Then we watched him box jump, and he box jumped like 40-something inches. We're like, oh, okay. Because he didn't look very strong.
Didn't look that part.
Yeah, he kind of, you know, he looked a little bit softer. But then he did that and was like, okay, he's got some explosiveness to him. Then you watch him on the quick foot ladder, and you're like, he got little feet to him too. Okay, we can work with this. So.
Well, and so talk about your coaches on the offensive side of the ball and kind of what you look for in them and what they bring to the table.
Well, I know you're shocked, but we all coach both sides of the ball. It's not like these bigger schools where these four on defense, these four on offense. So up front, Coach Cope, he played offensive line at Greenbrier, and he does a great job with our O-linemen. They love him, and he's got them all 2 hours, so he's doing D-line and O-line with them. So he does a really good job, especially with this group because they're all brand new from last year. Mm-hmm. Coach Wofford, he helps me out with my fullbacks. Coach Busey and Coach Dykus help me out with the receivers. And then I do the quarterbacks and kind of a little bit of everything wherever I need to be, kind of doing all that. So those guys know, like, our offense is very structured in what we do, because I believe there's structure, there's freedom in structures. You know, as long as we have these things in place, we can do whatever we want as long as it's within the system. So those guys know that. They're learning that. The two new guys are really taking hold of everything and learning stuff, and we're starting to teach them all the basics of, hey, here's uploading film, here's intercutting film, so we can free up our plates a little bit.
So, you know, talk about that chemistry of all of that, because you mentioned, you know, the smaller in numbers the number of coaches, but that means you're also working with the junior high and you're working with, you know, those grades coming up. So, yeah. I mean, it's football all week. I mean,
yeah.
A football coach is a football coach all week anyway. But when how do you feel like that helps prepare for when they get to the senior high level? You're learning those tendencies. They're learning yours, and from both the coaching and the kid standpoint. It just seems that it would just breed benefits.
Yeah, and we've been running the same system offensively and defensively now for 4 years. So the benefits of that is in seventh grade, they're hearing this play for the first time, and they're going to hear that same play for five more years. Same thing defensively. They're going to hear this blitz for the first time, and they're going to hear that same blitz for the next 5 years. And we try to make it so simple that they'll never forget it the first time, but then as they rep it more and more and more, they just never forget it. It helps us build relationships with them. You know, we know them all pretty well. We know most of their families pretty well. So it's just kind of – it's one of those deals. And it was cool. We had open house last night, and you get some of the little brothers and the little sisters coming through, and you get to ask about them. And, you know, like, I've been there long enough now to have, you know, several family members that I've coached or whatever. I haven't been there as long as Coach Stallings. He's at 44 years. I'm only at
wow.
9. But maybe one day I'll make it there, hopefully not. But, it's just cool building relationships with them. And all our coaches, that's one of the cool things you talk about. You know, we all coach both sides of the ball. My two new guys are going to help me out in seventh grade. My other two guys, Cope and Wolf, are going to be with me in junior high. So we all are coaching them all at some young age, and we're all coaching them at the high school age.
Yeah.
And we have such a good chemistry in the office. If you ever want to make a TV show, which I know they made Coach back in the day, if you just stuck a camera in there and saw how much fun we have all the time, and that feeds over into the kids. They have fun.
Sure.
They know they can joke with us and have fun within reason, and we joke with them and have fun because we want football to be a good experience. We don't want it to be one of those when you're, you know, 40, 50 years old, you look back and like, God, I hated my high school football coach. You know, that's the worst experience. I loved my high school football coaches. They're still at Sperry, Oklahoma today. I can still go talk to them. And I want that for my guys at Mayflower. So,
yeah, and I think that's important. I think we talk about people that make a difference in someone's life, and usually I bet if you talk to 80 to 90% of the kids coming out of high school, it's a coach of some sort. And, I mean, I just think it's important. I know my coaches meant the world to me, and they're still around. They're not coaching, but they're still around. But hey, who's the player that you think that's – it's going to be the surprise player this year, the person that you think, hey, man, that guy's got it. I think he could really surprise some folks, and kind of was low on the radar last year but could make a huge difference.
I could say all of them because they're all new this year. They're all going to be a surprise to somebody. But I think Peyton Harris is going to surprise people at wide receiver. He's, you know, in practice we call it cheat code Peyton, throwing it up to him because he's really good. I think the other one's going to be Chris Blackman at running back. Him and Cade, you know, Cade had carried 400 or 500 yards last year. Not many touchdowns because when we got down there and had to pound it in, we just put our huge Mike linebacker back there to do that. But I think those guys that, you know, they've played roles and now they get to be the star in that role. People are going to be like, oh, all right, that kid's all right. You know, he's doing good. So those are a couple of the guys that I think of, like, you know, because they're going to get the stats. The linemen aren't going to get seen hardly at all. Really, all the linemen are going to be shocks to people. But those two guys, I think, will be guys that when people click on the film, they're like, oh, okay, well, that guy, we really got to watch out for that guy. So,
when you look at, and Eric alluded to it a moment ago with regards to culture, the culture of Mayflower football, I mean, you know, you and I even talked about this a couple of years ago, going from that small little setup over there just off of the field and now into to the larger indoor, and you've seen the growth from just a facility standpoint, and I know that has also helped just the mindset and just the overall culture. How would you describe the culture of Mayflower football if I'm a parent coming in thinking, you know, I could move here or I could move there? Why would I want to have my kid be involved in this program?
So for us, you know, we got the small town mentality still. I think it's one of the last gyms in Central Arkansas that's a small community that's very tight-knit. And, man, it's the most welcoming place on earth. We get, you know, kids that move in from Conway or Maumelle, and everybody that comes through there, man, I've been so welcomed when I've come in here. It's that true family mentality of, you know, we always say in the field house, family stands for forget about me, I love you. And it happens like that. And I think people in general, they just want to have that. They want to have people love on them. You know, sometimes you go to a bigger school and you get lost in the wash and you don't get seen. And every kid wants to be seen at some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
And we're small enough where they can all be seen every single day, either by a teacher or a coach. So.
Yeah. And so you talk about that culture. And I hear one name in there, McEachern, which that's just – you always hear McEachern. You also hear you hear of a York,
yep.
A lot of Yorks through there. What is that – what's that mean to a community like this? I mean, you talk about – you know, you do get lost in a shuffle in the size of what Conway is.
Yeah.
So even at your Greenbrier and Valonia's now, you're getting lost in the shuffle because of the size. But with Mayflower, not just kids that are moving in, but what's it mean to that kid, like the McEachern kid that's going to come in and play for you, to know that my dad came here? It's almost like the Varsity Blues deal. My dad came here. He played here. Now I'm moving on up.
And high school's named after his grandma.
Yeah, so. Well, there you go. There you go.
Yeah, I think it's cool. You know, last year even we had the very first team in Mayflower history come up and do like a 50-year thing, but it was like a year late, so we're a little off on that. But it was cool, you know, seeing the Harpers and the Stubbs and the McEachern's and all them come out, and then realizing a lot of our kids are all cousins and nephews of them and grandchilds of them, because, you know, a lot of them have different last names now from marriages and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But, I mean, they're just legacy players. They're Mayflower kids, and it's – Mayflower kids, that's what this group is really fun about, is that there's a lot of just Mayflower. There's a couple that have moved in junior high, but for the most part, a lot of them are they're Mayflower people. Their family is that family that's been around for, you know, 30, 40, 50 years and been around for a while. So they're the kids that understand, like, hey, I don't need all the glitz and glamour. I'm here to play football and, you know, do it like my dad did. So
that's very cool. Very
blue,
cool.
Blue collar.
Very much blue collar.
Very much. Austin Emerson, head coach of the Mayflower Eagles, joining us here this morning. When we come back, we're going to break down the schedule.
Right.
Take a look at that in the conference and who can we see when and where. And we will do all of that when we come back. You are listening to the Football Friday Preview Show from Big Bad Breakfast in downtown Conway here on Cat Country 98.9 and 92.5. My Country Y107 and the all-new Big 92.7.
This school year, our sights are set high with Conway Public Schools, where champions for kids are made. From award-winning academics to dedicated teachers and top athletics, our students shine bright. Stay connected, track events, and never miss a moment with the Conway Public Schools app. Ready to lead, learn, and grow. A proud past and a promising future awaits. Six legs strong. Be a part of the Wampus Cat family, because in Conway, every child is a champion. Visit us online and join the tradition of excellence today.
Gas is so expensive these days, but not with fuel-efficient vehicles from Chris Crane Hyundai in Conway. Like the Tucson's loaded with technology, and there's even a hybrid model.
Stop playing the gas pump lottery with new Hyundai hybrids with up to 50 miles per gallon. Or get 0% financing for up to 60 months on new 2026 Tucson's and new 2026 Elantras. Start at just $22,995 at Chris Crane Hyundai on Museum Road in Conway and online at chriscranehyundai.com.
The community of Conway continues to be committed to the Wampus Cats, just as Centennial is committed to our customers. Perseverance, commitment, and resilience are key ingredients for success. Whether you are cheering on the Wampus Cats, starting a new business, or planning for the future, Centennial is here for all of life's moments. Let us be your partner. Centennial Bank, member FDIC.
Today's medical system treats patients like products, not us. Conway Regional brings together key service lines, providers, and technologies to create a unique patient experience that is highly intentional and refreshingly personal. With a hospital in the heart of Conway, a trusted ER, women's services, all from a team that delivers more than medicine. This is not mass-produced healthcare. This is your healthcare. Conway Regional. Curated care.
Now back to the Football Friday Preview Show on the Triarc Radio Sports Network.
Welcome back. Mayflower Eagles in the spotlight here this morning on our Football Friday Preview Show. Head coach Austin Emerson joins us here. And all right, coach, breaking down what lays ahead for the 2026 season. Starting off, as you mentioned earlier, BB with a fresh look. And so there's nothing like going game one out and you don't know what you've got and you don't know what they've got because there's nothing for what they got that you got to look at.
Yep. But I know who they hired as their OC. I know what he runs, and I'm not happy with that. Yeah, so we open up with BB, and then we become Road Warriors. We're just going to play the WWE Road Warriors theme song all year long. Actually, when I made the schedule, you know, I'd made the non-conference, and we hadn't had our conference meeting yet. I knew what conference we were going to be in. But then we go to the conference meeting, and I draw two road games to start it off. So we went home, away, away, off week, and then we go away, away to start conference. So we got like 5 weeks where we're just burning up gas.
Yeah.
And right now gas ain't cheap. So
the good news is you get to finish at home a lot.
Exactly.
Yeah, we do. And then next year we'll have six home games. So it all evens out in the end. But, yeah, we start off with BB. Tried to find, you know, one team kind of close that wasn't a 6A or 7A or just, you know, maybe a 5A state championship team. But somebody that I felt like, you know, we could at least compete with. Mm-hmm. And then other than that, tried to find some 4A schools that would play. A lot of the 3A schools, based on what we had, didn't really want to play, and I get it. You know, we had a good team last year, but I tried to tell everybody, like, we just graduated everybody.
Yeah.
You know, so didn't get to really stay centrally located. We're going to go up the mountain, go play Huntsville. We're going to go down southwest and go play Hope. And I have no idea what either one of those teams have. Really don't even know what BB has, so we'll just kind of get the film and get rolling on that. So then we roll into conference. We go with Clinton. Yeah, the last time we were in 4A, we were in the conference with them as well. Coach Dufresne does a phenomenal job. He's one of the last of a dying breed still running the wing tee. And I think he's one of the best in the state, if not the best in the state, at running the wing tee. He has an answer for every single thing you try to throw at him. He's seen it all in 35 years. He knows. And then we go to Bauxite right after that, which they're a top five football team in the state. They've got really good quarterback, Coach Perry's son. And that group, I remember playing them in junior high last time we were with them, and they got really good groups coming through there right now. Then we go to CAC. I haven't seen them in some years. You know, they're just right down the road. So that one will be a fun one. It'll be a big crowd game. When we used to play them early on, we always had huge crowds at those games just because a lot of our kids know each other, a lot of the parents know each other, all that good stuff. Then we got Heber Springs. Heber Springs, Coach Carmichael's done a good job up there. He's got them on the up and up. And, you know, last year I think they surprised some teams. And we saw him in junior high a couple years ago at a team camp, and he had like 60 kids out there. It was like, holy moly, man, you've got a lot of kids wanting to play football. And it's transitioned into high school really well. Then you got Haskell Harmony Grove on there. And those guys, they run another very unique offense that the last time – that we were in conference with them. It's kind of old Diamond T, like what Cabot used to run back in the day with Malham. And that stuff is not fun to stop either. You just don't see it very often. So then you get, you know, 3 days to prep for it. And if you're not ready for it, then it's no fun. And then Lone Oak on the schedule. Coach Benberg has got those guys going well. They got a lot of seniors returning, a lot of good offensive and defensive linemen. Skill guys are always good at Lone Oak. And then we go to Bald Knob. And I haven't seen any film on them to know – anything about them. We did team camp with them last year, but they got a new head football coach, and he seems to be pumping the stuff in the system there, getting kids out to play. So, and it's week 10, so they'll be a lot better than they were week 0 or 1. So who knows what they'll be like.
So, well, tell you what, you mentioned the Huntsville ball game. Jason Lawrence, who used to be at at Mayflower, and he's been at Conway too. Love Jason, and great guy, dear friend. He's at Huntsville now as the high school principal. Yeah,
Oh, and gosh.
So that'll be a neat trip. So, where are some places that that your kids are looking to play? I know CAC is probably one.
Yeah,
and you know Clinton. I know Doof does a great job up there. Mm-hmm. And so where are some places that your kids are looking since they get in this new conference, like, hey, we get to play this team this year?
Yeah, I'm sure CAC is one of them just because they all know each other.
Yeah.
Social media and all that, and they may have never met each other, but they at least know your profile
yeah,
on
exactly.
whatever you've got. Other than that, though, I mean, our kids are you know, even last year, I mean, other than Salem, who they really wanted mm-hmm. to play, and Atkins, who's kind of our I-40 rival, they don't really care. They're just, hey, whoever it is, we just want to go play them and go get after them. So they're not, like, other than CAC, which that's homecoming week, so it'll have its own stuff going
yeah.
on it. I just think they're just up to play football for anybody.
Yeah. So. You know, I think it's neat, too, and you and I were talking about this before we came back from the break. You know, Bauxite, one of those places, is just kind of a neat atmosphere. And you got the same thing with a lot of these places that
yeah.
you're traveling to, is that there's not – I'm like you, as far as the Hope and the Huntsville thing, I know they start with the letter H. Beyond that, I don't
yeah.
know much about them. And I know there's been some heritage, you know, some heritage and stuff in there. It's got to be fun to go into these, what I call classic environments,
yeah.
because they're unique to their communities, you know, and 4A seems to – I've always said that some of the best football in the state is 3A, 4A, 5A.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as competition, as far as, you know, balance, and as far as passion, because
yeah.
those communities are small enough, but yet they're large enough that everybody gets behind and everybody gets involved. And that's what creates those atmospheres, you know, for those ball games, those Friday nights.
Yeah. And one of the cool things has been for me as a coach is, you know, you get to see the whole state of Arkansas as a football coach. And then you get to see the sunset early on in the year. And really all year long, you know, you get somewhere early enough. You get to watch sunset in Mountain View, Arkansas last year. Man,
yeah.
it was beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, it was a cool spot.
Yeah.
And everywhere we go, that's kind of like my little thing. I always like to see, man, what's it look like on a football field with the sunset in here at this mm-hmm. place. And, man, there is nothing prettier than going on some of these away games like Bauxite where, you know, kids are playing ball in the end zone and – band's going crazy and the crowd's packed and the sun's right there on the trees and you're just like, man, this is high school football. This is fun right here.
When you mentioned the three that are ranked in the top 20 in 4A that are in your conference, kind of line out who do you feel like the strong points of the conference are?
Yeah, you've got Bauxite. I think Hootens has them in the top five. Quarterback's really good. O-line's really good. Coach Perry does a great job there. And then you've got who was next? I think it was Lone Oak was next. Coach Benberg, you know, he was with Parkview, won a couple state championships mm-hmm. with them. He's got those guys drinking the juice, and they look good, and they got some big linemen. I just been going on YouTube and trying to watch, you know, whatever they had on there.
Yeah.
And they're a big physical football team. And then Haskell Harmony Grove, I remember this group in junior high was really good for them, and I'm guessing they've all stayed out. So, you know, you kind of – As a coach, you want them to stay and play football, but as their opponent, you hope they quit off. but yeah, this group back in junior high, they had some mashers up front, man. They had some backs that could really get after you. So, yeah, thankfully we get them towards the end of the year. That could be good, could be bad. They could be injured up, or they could be well-oiled machine ready to go. So, could go one way or the other.
Well, and then you mentioned it early. You know, Dufresne does a great job at Clinton, and, mm-hmm. and that – the wing takes hard to stop.
Yes.
And so when you look at the way the conference is set up and everything, what is the – what's the best way to say this? When you prepare for a different conference, football's football. You got to prepare
yeah.
to win. You got to – what are some things that you see from these teams that you think will be different from last year?
Well, last year we only had two teams that ran kind of an old-school offense. And really, I guess it's similar this year, Haskell Harmony Grove and Clinton. But a lot of these teams, they'll run some version of a run-style offense. And last year seemed like more people were in spread. Last time we were in this similar-ish kind of conference, mm-hmm. there was like five old-school offenses, and they were all totally different. So this year it's a little less old-school offense, which is nice. That'll make Coach Wofford a little bit happier because we see spread all the
yes.
time. You don't see diamond tee, wing tee,
right.
flex bone all the time. But playing those, just the difference is it'll be a difference in talent, different in depth. You know, like I said earlier, everybody from NFL on down, their ones are their ones for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
But to be a good football team, you got to have some decent backups that, you know, even the year we went 10-2, our best lineman got hurt, and that sixth offensive lineman, that was the key to us staying to win a couple games because we, you know, had to go off and beat Melbourne and one other team, or I think it was Melbourne and Quitman and our best lineman wasn't playing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that sixth man to step in, or seventh man to step in, or the first D lineman, that fifth D lineman to step in, or the fourth linebacker to step in. Those guys are so crucial to a good football season, because making it out at the end of week 10, football's such a contact sport that, you know, it's hard.
Yeah.
Well, Coach, we're excited about what the Mayflower Eagles will be bringing out on the field, and we'll be following along each week, and always appreciate your support and keeping our listeners in touch with what's going on. We love high school football here, and we're excited about what Mayflower brings out, and looking forward to seeing how the new conference and see how the new plays out for you this year.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Luck, Austin Coach. Emerson joining us here this morning with the Mayflower Eagles. Next week, we are taking the show on the road. Literally, Eric, we'll be leaving out of Conway early next Friday morning, as we'll be making the trip over to Searcy, and the Searcy Lions are now in our family of programs that we are covering here, you know, with the TriArc Radio Network, as they will be on 92.7, big 92.7 this season. So we look forward to talking with Coach Zach Clark and his crew over at Searcy. Title contenders for sure over in 6A, so it should be fun. We'll see you next week here. And again, if you missed any of today's program, we'll have it up on our website at triarcradio.com later on this afternoon, or early this afternoon, I hope. And you'll be able to listen back and catch all the action here. Once again, thanks for joining us at Big Bad Breakfast. For the best broadcast partner in the business, Mr. Eric King. And again, thank you, Austin Emerson, for joining us here this morning. Back with you next week. I'm JR here on Cat Country 98.9 and 92.5. My Country Y107 and the all-new Big 92.7.
Back to school means back to routines. Hi, I'm Dr. Tricia Benish, Director of Mental Health for the Greenbrier School District. Even small routines can help children feel confident, prepared, and ready for the school year ahead. Families can ease the transition by returning to consistent bedtimes and morning routines early, by setting healthy screen time limits, and start talking with children about what they can expect. Structure and connection help children feel safe and supported. At Greenbrier, preparing for school is about more than schedules and supplies. It's also about heart. Heart is our word of the month for August, and it means caring for others, facing challenges with courage, and giving our best even when things are difficult. When we lead with heart, every student has the opportunity to thrive. Check out our social media for more information and start one healthy routine tonight, because school starts August 12th and we can't wait to welcome everyone back. Our students, staff, and families truly are the heart of Greenbrier.
Gas is so expensive these days, but not with fuel-efficient vehicles from Chris Crane Hyundai in Conway. Like the Tucson's loaded with technology, and there's even a hybrid model.
Stop playing the gas pump lottery with new Hyundai hybrids with up to 50 miles per gallon. Or get 0% financing for up to 60 months on new 2026 Tucson's and new 2026 Elantras. Start at just $22,995 at Chris Crane Hyundai on Museum Road in Conway and online at chriscranehyundai.com.
The community of Conway continues to be committed to the Wampus Cats, just as Centennial is committed to our customers. Perseverance, commitment, and resilience are key ingredients for success. Whether you are cheering on the Wampus Cats, starting a new business, or planning for the future, Centennial is here for all of life's moments. Let us be your partner. Centennial Bank, member FDIC.